sharing your testimony this morning. That really blessed me. I'm sure it blessed all of us. We serve an amazing, living, powerful God who sees our lives where we're at, sees our thoughts, our emotions. Every aspect is open to Him like an open book. He's got His perfect timing for everything that He has in our life. So praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Crystal. Today we're looking back on the day of Pentecost, celebrating this wonderful historical day in history. It's worth celebrating, right? Do I hear an amen? It's worth celebrating Pentecost. The fact of the matter is that God sent His wonderful Holy Spirit to live in all people who believe in Jesus Christ. Every single person who confesses genuine faith in Christ is promised the Spirit. You guys know John the Baptism, right? Or John the Baptist, there we go. You guys know, you've heard of John the Baptist? What did he do? That's right, he baptized people. That's why he's called John the Baptist. He called people to repent of their sins and be baptized in water, right? But what did he say? He said that one is coming who is more powerful than I, who I am not worthy to tie the sandals of, and he will baptize you in what? The Spirit and fire, right? And that someone greater is, of course, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles with you, open with me to Acts, the book of Acts. And we're going to start in chapter 1, verses 48. On one occasion while he, Jesus, was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So this was obviously after Jesus had rose from the grave. And he had appeared to the disciples on multiple occasions by now. And during this time, Jesus was enjoying a meal with his disciples. How awesome is that? Look forward to that day when I can be in Christ's presence as well. I'm sure we all do. And he gave them clear orders. To do what? To remain in Jerusalem and to wait for the promised Holy Spirit. And Jesus talked about this promise, this gift, multiple times throughout his time with the disciples. And often he referred to this time when he would leave this earth, meaning leaving the disciples. But he said that he would not leave them alone, that he would send a helper to be with them. And this helper is the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit is one of the members of the triune God. You guys have heard the Trinity of God, right? The three in one. We have the Father, God, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And so often we kind of forget about the Holy Spirit. It's kind of a third wheel, you could say, but the Holy Spirit is equally and fully God. And it's awesome that we have the Holy Spirit here amongst us today. And notice that Jesus says the disciples receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on them. What is this power for? Is it to be able to do wonderful things and lift big objects and have a big, you know, brain and wisdom and knowledge and do well in life? No, it's to be witnesses, right? to be witnesses of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ, to the ends of the earth. So what was it like for the disciples when the Holy Spirit finally came? Let's continue reading in chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So what an amazing spectacle we have here of the coming of the Holy Spirit. We have a visual and an oral sound that takes place when the Holy Spirit comes down from heaven. A sound like a rushing, violent wind comes and fills the house. And then tongues of flame separate and fall on the disciples. The disciples are simply together in one place, a house, when the Spirit came. And throughout the Bible, we have this symbol. The symbol of fire is used. You guys know what the symbol of fire is used for in the Bible? It's usually used and associated with the presence of God, right? Think back to Moses in the burning bush, right? God appeared as a burning bush there on fire. The fire did not consume the bush, right? How about when the Israelites were going through the wilderness? God was before them at night going as a pillar of flame, right? And then there's times where God comes down as fire onto the altar and consumes the sacrifice on the altar. So we have these multiple times where we see God appear as a symbol of presence of fire. Then what happens next? The disciples begin to speak in tongues. Multiple different languages. Languages that they did not know. Let's continue reading in verse 5 to 13. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all those who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hear them in our native languages? Language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and other parts of Libya, near Pontus and Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." So here we have an amazing show of the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. And each disciple was speaking a language that they could not possibly have known. And they were what? They were declaring the wonders of God in multiple different languages. And now at this time, Jerusalem was filled with Jews from every nation. They had come to Jerusalem to celebrate what they call the Feast of Weeks, which was a time of thanksgiving for the first fruits of the wheat harvest. So God's timing was perfect for His purpose here, having gathered so many people in Jerusalem to witness the coming of the Holy Spirit. Notice that when the crowd heard the disciples speaking in many languages, in their own language, they were amazed. And they asked, "Aren't these who are speaking Galileans?" Why is that? Why would they ask this? This is because the Galilean region and the people there were regarded as people who weren't well educated. So they would not have known other languages. So they were amazed that how can this be that these people are speaking in all of these languages? The crowd was amazed and they were so perplexed that some began to make fun of the disciples, saying that they had too much wine. But then Peter stands up and takes charge of the situation. Let's read verses 14 and 18. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. The wonderful reality today is that God's Holy Spirit is still here. As Crystal testified, God has not changed, nor will He ever change. And His promises do not change either. The reality is that the Holy Spirit is in every person who confesses their faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus has not changed. His promises has not changed. God has not changed. Peter quotes Joel from the Old Testament, the prophet Joel, of the promise that was given for God's people in the last days. And God has poured out the Holy Spirit on all people who believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. And along with the Spirit being poured out on us, we are empowered to be witnesses of Jesus Christ to those around us. We operate under the power of the Holy Spirit in many ways. Some are mentioned here. Some will prophesy, some will see visions, others will dream dreams. And of course, this list is expanded on in the New Testament. Sometimes we'll witness miracles of God healing people. My wife is a testimony of that. God touched her lower back that was injured from a car accident. She had chronic pain there, and God healed her back, and she hasn't had back pain ever since then. God used one of His servants to do that. He gives the gift of healing through His Holy Spirit to someone. Sometimes we speak in tongues. There's so many gifts of the Spirit that we should be mindful of and pray for. And all of this is to glorify God, to increase our faith in God, and to bear witness and testify to the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the miracle of salvation. What Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is amazing. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. In Christ, your body becomes a temple of God. Think about that for a second. The presence of God comes to dwell in you. That's a miracle. That's amazing. In my early years of faith, I was confused about whether the Holy Spirit dwelled in me. Because there's this kind of distinct separation that's taught about being saved, coming to Christ, and then what we call being baptized in the Holy Spirit, or filling of the Spirit. And I was told that I needed to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is a good thing, right? And this often was shown to happen by, you know, feeling the presence of God in you and then speaking in tongues. So for a long time I wondered, is the Holy Spirit of God in me? And it caused me to kind of shrink back and not walk boldly in my faith. I wasn't confident that I could be involved in ministry work and in church work, and I kind of felt that I was maybe a lesser believer than others around me who was, you know, doing things in the church, and I was unsure kind of this is, you know, the Holy Spirit dwell on me. But I received great counsel from an older, mature Christian, and they confirmed to me that every person who comes to Christ in genuine faith is born again, and the Spirit of God comes to dwell in them. And being born again means that the Holy Spirit enters you as you become a follower of Jesus Christ. In fact, when Peter stood up after he gave this wonderful sermon, his first sermon on the day of Pentecost, and called people to repent and put their faith in Jesus Christ and be baptized, we read this in Acts chapter 2, verse 38-39. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." You see, the Holy Spirit is a gift for all who call on Christ to forgive their sins and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul writes in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 13, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, a promised Holy Spirit." So be encouraged today that if you have received forgiveness of your sins in Jesus Christ, and you are His follower, you've been gifted with the Holy Spirit. You've been sealed, marked as Christ's own by the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit is in you. Now, when the baptism of the Holy Spirit happens, it is a wonderful experience. It's an awesome experience of just the presence of God flowing and flooding your inner being, your heart, just as Crystal testified today. And it's something that every believer should desire and pray for. And it's not just about the experience, but also it strengthens our faith in a mighty way. It encourages the body of believers. This has happened today when Crystal testified about that. I was so encouraged by that, I'm sure all of you were too. It builds up the body of believers. It's a great testimony to all around us that God is real. Jesus saves, and the Holy Spirit is here today, tomorrow, and every day. God's Holy Spirit transforms us from the inside out. It empowers us. The Holy Spirit transforms our lives. It changes us. It transforms our desires to be more in line with God's desires, His will and purpose. And when God's Holy Spirit comes to live in us, we want to change. We want to change how we live, how we think. It transforms the way we live our lives. And that is because the Spirit of God is living in you. When we read the book of Acts, we see the transformed lives of the believers in action. From how they live their life as the church of Christ, how they love one another, how they serve each other, how they take care of each other. Then we see how bold they are when they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when they face hardship and persecution, what do? Do they give up? No, they come together and they pray, and God fills them with the Spirit. They're strengthened, they're emboldened, they go out and do what? They continue preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a complete transformation that happens in believers' lives. Their prayer life is so strong. There's so many examples in the book of Acts, and I encourage you to read it. Read it this month. Read the book of Acts. Let's just look at the life of Peter, the Apostle Peter, as an example. Before he received the Holy Spirit, he would often be asking the questions, putting his foot in his mouth. He'd be making hasty decisions and doing the wrong things at the wrong time, right? But now after the power has the power of the Holy Spirit has filled Peter. He stands up in confidence and boldness, and he preaches this wonderful sermon. Read the sermon today. When you go home, read the sermon in Acts chapter 2. We're running out of time here. So read it today. You know, it's just a powerful witness of Christ and the power of salvation of Jesus Christ. That it's so powerful that thousands are saved that day and the church is formed. But Peter is clearly transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's a powerful witness of Jesus Christ. So let this be an encouragement to you today on the day of Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit dwells in every believer who confesses faith in Jesus Christ and has forgiveness of sins in Jesus. And if you have not received the baptism of the Spirit, pray for it, desire for it, and God will, at the right time, fill you with His Holy Spirit, baptizing the Spirit. So closing off, what does it look like to live a life that is empowered by the Spirit as a believer in Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, it changes our desire. Our desire should be for more of Jesus Christ, to please Him, to follow His teachings, to hunger for Him, read His Word, spend time in prayer. It transforms our lives that it's no longer our will and our desire for what we want in life, but what God wants for us, and following His will. And we're emboldened to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. We're each gifted by God in different ways that God can use to testify to others about Jesus Christ. So use your giftings and use those to glorify God and to witness to others about Jesus. And pray. We receive gifts of the Holy Spirit that we use that edifies the body of believers. If you have a gift of serving, serve in the church. If you have a gift of wisdom, share that wisdom. If you have the gift of knowledge, share that knowledge with others. If you have the gift of prophecy, don't be scared to step out in faith and prophesy when you feel God laying a word on your heart. There's so many giftings that we should be aware of and pray for and use to edify the body of believers. So I want to encourage you guys. God has not changed. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is God. And be mindful of following the Spirit in your everyday life. You know, our flesh is constantly fighting against the Spirit. And we're called to follow in the Spirit, not live in the flesh. So let's just walk in the Spirit daily, be mindful and be encouraged the Spirit dwells in you. And let's pray for a time when the Spirit of God will fill us and baptize us. So why don't we take a moment here and stand up and pray together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, we thank You so much that we can gather together here in Your name. Thank You that we can freely come and profess our faith in You, Jesus, and ask for the forgiveness of our sins. And thank You, Lord, that You paid fully for the price of our sins by giving Your life on the cross. Even though You knew no sin, You were made to be all of our sin. And You paid the penalty by giving Your life and suffering for our sins. But Lord, You rose from the grave. You are alive today. Hallelujah. Defeating sin and death. And Lord, we want to confess that You are our Savior and Lord today. And thank You that You have sent the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in us. That we are temples of the Holy Spirit. We are temples of God. What a miracle that is, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that You would strengthen us, embolden us, empower us, Lord, to be Your witnesses to those around us. There are so many people in our lives who don't know You, Jesus, who don't know that You are the Son of God. And Lord, help us to testify in power about the gospel, the wonderful message, and that You are the living God. Lord, we pray for giftings of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we just pray that you would give us various giftings. And give us the strength and boldness to use the gifts of the Spirit, Lord. That they would operate in this body, this church of believers. And Lord, if there are people here who have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we just pray, Lord, that you would baptize those people, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Fill us, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Help us to follow your leading every day, Lord. To set aside the desires of our flesh, Lord, to take up the desires of the Spirit within us, Lord, of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us every day. We just pray that you'd strengthen our faith, as you have done here today, through Crystal's testimony and through your word this morning, Lord. And we confess and declare that you are the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and that you are alive. And we hold on to the promise that you are coming back. You are coming back. We bless each other in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.